Folks, you are listening to the Drew Marshall Show.
Man, what a heavy stories in the last hour.
It's kind of spacing me out.
Really?
See,
that's your segue?
See that? Nice, eh? Well, it was that or playing Star Trek.
You're such a meathead. Folks, we're live right here on Joy 1250 covering Southern Ontario. They tell us it's a population of 6 million and 4 people listen.
Nice. What's that, a negative
3%? Your family, 3%? My family.
Yeah. Oh, my family doesn't listen.
Oh, that's right.
They can listen to me at home.
You can catch us on our website, drewmarshall.ca. We're streaming live. Michael Donovan, he's the founder of Outer Places, where science meets science fiction. Wait, can I say that? I got to say that again. Outer Places, where science meets science fiction.
Fiction.
Michael Donovan, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am so glad to have you on the show. And as I said to you in the email I sent you, it's taken me way too long to invite you. My apologies.
Well, I'm very happy to be talking to you.
Outerplaces.com is the place you want to go. Outerplaces.com. It's a new online destination covering the intersection of science and science fiction, an exciting new movement created in partnership with the International UFO Museum in Roswell, New Mexico. Basically, Michael, if I have my facts straight, which is very rarely the case in my life, Outer Spaces is like the Huffington Post of science and science fiction in that it works as an aggregate for the somewhat fragmented science and sci-fi community. Is that close?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Drew. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have... this is a part of life that I don't get, man. I mean, I just... When I was younger, I was into like some of those horror magazines, and that's about as close as I got to. And I think because I'm intimidated by the intelligence of the people that are in this world. You would be one of them, Michael. You scare me.
Nothing to be afraid of.
Well, so let's talk about something that actually has got my attention recently.
Yeah.
Something that's in the news, you know, landing on a meteor has turned out to be a bigger news story than Kim Kardashian's butt.
Isn't that amazing? And as it should be. Think about this little satellite, Rosetta, 10 years ago, launched 10 years ago, in outer space, sitting in outer space, waiting for this comet to come along. And if you see the sort of elliptical spiral orbit that it exercised in order to land on a comet going 40,000 miles an hour. I mean, it's kind of extraordinary. And in a funny way, this is kind of the essence of everything we're doing. You talk about this initially, and it sounds like science fiction, right? And then 10 years later, it's science fact.
Let's just clear up a couple things that I've heard in the news recently. First of all, when this thing, by the way, what is it that landed? What are we calling it, a pod?
It's a probe.
Probe.
It's called, I don't know if I have the name, it's Philae, I think is the.
Okay, so the probe landed, and then it bounced a couple of times, and now it's in the shadow of a cliff on this meteor, which gives you some understanding how big this meteor is, and it may not be getting as much solar energy as it's supposed to in order to work properly. Is that about
it? That's exactly right. And as a matter of fact, sadly, it just a couple of hours ago, it turned off.
Oh, it did. I'm sorry. We were on air, and I did not know that. Oh,
yeah, it
man.
Ran out of juice. But they did. They were able to probe the surface, and a massive amount of data has been sent back. So it's very exciting. Everyone that is involved with the project thinks it's a huge success, and there's a possibility as the comet moves closer to the sun, and Rosetta is still in orbit around the comet, if you can imagine, that as it changes its position, it may light up again. It may get enough sun on their solar panels on the little probe. So who knows?
Okay, well, they think it's still going to be a success, but they also thought that the Higgs boson particle, or the God particle, was really the bomb. the you know, amazing discovery. However, right. they're suggesting it may not be the Higgs boson particle after all.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a physicist, but I love the discussion, and I think that this notion of sort of constantly moving forward and trying to understand the world we live in, the universe we live in, is hugely exciting.
Well, and of course, the discussion is really what this website that you're the founder of, outerplaces.com, that's what it's all about, is the gang getting together from all over the world. And by the way, I got to jump into, when I spent a bit of time in this website yesterday, first of all, it wasn't helpful at all with me doing research for the other guests on my show, because I got stuck on this stupid website for about 3 hours and I couldn't leave because I was addicted to things on this thing. So thanks for that.
It is pretty sticky, you know? I mean, you go for one thing and then you find yourself sort of getting deeper and deeper, and that's what I love. I mean, it's sort of an endless... there's an endless amount of content. You know, the thing that really excites me about this this sort of combination or this our organizing idea of where science meets science fiction is that every morning I wake up and you go online and either NASA or Hollywood has done something new that gives us a whole new way of thinking about our universe or a whole new way of thinking about science or a whole new way of thinking about our place in you know, the great unknown. It's just every day there's something new and exciting.
So the coolest thing that I think attracts probably everybody when they first go to outerplaces.com is the map of sightings, and it's an interactive map. Explain to people exactly what happens when they hit this map.
Well, one of the things that we are really interested in doing is starting to aggregate data around sightings relative to time of day, location. We're finding that sightings spike, the number of sightings spike around events, whether they're natural or political. Our goal ultimately is simply to capture the sightings and start to see if we can't discern patterns, whether it's time of day or latitude or longitude. And ultimately, what you'll be able to do is you can report a sighting with a text, with a photo, a video. The sighting is assigned a number. It goes into our repository, and it helps us build this database.
So I remember I must have clicked on about 30 of these things, okay, these sightings.
Yeah.
And then there's information you can read. There's videos you can watch. It is, I mean, it's just fantastic. And the interactivity, obviously, is the key thing behind this website. Can people submit? I mean, what about the, okay, I didn't want to go here right away, but here we go. What about the whack jobs? How do you keep them from posting ridiculousness on your site?
Well, we have an editorial team, and while we're careful to be welcoming, we don't want anything that is inappropriate. I mean, we're totally prepared to accept contrary views or even extreme views as far as that goes, but. As long as they stay within a certain civility and appropriateness, you know, bring it on. I mean, I think in some respects, that's what a good community is about. That's what a good community should be about, is really welcoming all points of view and all opinion. You know, at the end of the day, what we'd love to do is have a destination that is really... laden with facts and laden with data, so that you really can start to make your own or take your own sort of beliefs and see if you can't align them with what you're seeing or what you're hearing, what you're reading.
On the phone with Michael Donovan, he's the founder of one of the founders of Outer Places, where science meets science fiction. Michael, you know, I would love to brag about you, but I'd rather you do it. Because Canadians suck at it. You've been involved in a few projects that some would say have been successful over the years. Could you just let us know? One of them is, what's it called, Canadian Girl?
No. American Girl.
Oh,
American
sorry.
Girl Place.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's American Girl Place is the retail destination from the Pleasant Companies, which is a very successful company. And American Girl Place is it's a retail destination. It's all about story. I think recently we learned that I think it's the third most successful retail environment in America after an Apple and Tiffany store. So
wow.
Happy with that.
And you've done a little work with, what's that organization called? Just a second. Starts with an S and ends in Oni. Sony.
Oh, Sony. Yeah.
Yes,
well, we
yes.
helped. We've done a lot. Our interest is always trying to create new experiences for audiences. So American Girl Place was a way for girls 7 to 11 and their primary caregivers to interact around content and experience. Sony came to us, and they were interested in developing a retail destination themselves, and so we did that for Sony. A lot of what we've done is around experience and story, using stories to help explain. We love helping people experience content and information in new ways, and making the complex understandable is kind of our mission in life.
Well, I don't want to pollute the message too much here, but the point I'm trying to get across here, folks, is that Michael Donovan, anything that Michael Donovan touches turns to gold. That's kind of what I'm trying to say here. I mean, let's talk about a little thing called the Reagan Library. I think you had something to do with that.
Well, we designed the Reagan Library. Yeah, we did, and,
okay.
And that was a fantastic experience.
Tim, by the way, are you getting this here?
Let me see. American Girl, Reagan Library, and Sony.
Yeah, success is what we're talking
about. You got
any
daughters?
Two.
Nice. Just
two.
Yeah. Michael Donovan, founder of Outer Places, where science meets science fiction. Tim, you're so awkward. Let me just ask you this. When I tell the world that 36% of Americans think that UFOs are real, what does that indicate to you? Other than the fact that Outer Places is going to be ridiculously successful.
Well, I think what it really speaks to is sort of a bigger issue, Drew.
Yeah.
And I think people are really looking for they're looking to understand their place in the world, their place in the universe in a way that is important to them. And I think that the level of dysfunction that we all seem to experience now in terms of leadership, and I think many of us feel kind of adrift, right? Mm-hmm. And this idea that there's something bigger, something in the universe that is not necessarily understandable or explainable is important, and I think it's positive. I think it's optimistic.
Mm. I do, too, as well. I think that there is something inside all of us that wonders about the other, whether that's afterlife, whether that's aliens, whether that's a creator, supernatural, whatever. We all wonder about the other. It's just in us.
Yeah, and, you know, you could consider this. Our little solar system is, 4.7 billion plus or minus years old, and the universe is over 13 billion years old. So that suggests that there are other parts of the universe that have a huge jump, almost 9 billion years, mm-hmm. on our solar system. So that gives that part of the world, or that part of the universe, a lot of room to evolve and develop in ways that maybe we haven't thought about or haven't been able to experience yet based
sure.
on our young age.
And I think this all ties into the fact that, you know, there is more interest now than ever in science fiction, in science, in how those two worlds collide and connect, in the other, in the unexplainable. There's more interest now than ever, even though we're actually able to explain away so many different phenomena, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can figure out this. We understand this, the reason for that, the reason for this. But there's still, again, more interest than ever. And I think that ties into our world saying there's got to be more than what's in front of my eyes.
Well, between now and 2020, from Hollywood's perspective, Drew, there are 33 science fiction movies either in production or scheduled to be released.
Man, unbelievable. All right, well, I think Canadians need to be talked about here for a second. We've gone on too long talking about Americans. Hitchbot. Now, Tim, did you ever read about this? Do you know what I'm talking about when I say Hitchbot?
Not at all.
Hitchbot went 6,000 kilometers. He has 33,000 Twitter followers. He traveled, again, over 6,000 kilometers from Halifax, Nova Scotia, to Victoria, British Columbia, and in this is a robot. You didn't hear about this at all?
No.
So this robot gets propped up on the side of the road. Someone comes along, sees the thing, and goes, what the heck is that? And I don't know whether it's motion sensor triggered or whatever it is, or there's a button to push, but there's a thing, and I'm the robot, and there's communication. And he got carried across the country.
That's hilarious.
I can't believe no one destroyed it, or no one, you know, punked it or spray painted it or whatever.
So he's like that gnome in the travel commercials.
Yes, he's like the gnome in the travel commercials. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
or just took it home.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Clean out my garage.
That's what we need. So hitched 19 rides and spent a total of 21 days exploring Canada before reaching the final
That's
destination.
Awesome.
Pretty cool, huh? All right, let's talk about back to some things that the American folks have come up with. Because we came up with an electrified tin can. They came up with Gumby, okay? Harvard scientists have actually built Gumby. Michael Donovan, please help us understand how this thing created of silicone and Kevlar is so like Gumby.
Well, it's amazing. It's something that one of the things that we do, Drew, is every day we create a little video where science meets science fiction. And so we're basically sort of demonstrating, oops, here's another story where something was imagined is now real. And to your point, they created it's sort of an X-shaped form that is stimulated by electrical impulse that makes it contract, which enables it to literally crawl. So it can crawl through fire, it can crawl through ice, and it's an amazing sort of demonstration of something that was sort of unimaginable that is now totally functioning, and they're thinking about using it as a survival kind of tool where this fire departments could send this. It's essentially a robot into a burning building, either with a camera or it could go in and rescue people and pull people out. Yep. So it's,
I love it. And here's the other one that I saw. And again, all of this stuff, folks, I had no clue about until I went to outerplaces.com. A jetpack that would help Tim the Tool, my engineer, run a 4-minute mile.
Yeah.
I got to get me one of those.
It's in development and, coming to your Walmart soon.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I want to do a little rapid-fire thing here with you. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
The founder of OuterPlaces.com, Michael Donovan, on the phone. I want you to tell me some bit of information that you find interesting about the following things. Just real quick, okay? We're running out of time, so real quick. You ready?
Yep.
Crop circles.
Patty Greer writes about them. They're particularly prominent in England.
Roswell.
Well, the 1947 event that is famous. What's significant is that all these military people were involved with it. It was the 509th Atomic Bomb Unit that discovered this, and the story goes on about Roswell, about an alien vehicle crashing and possible survivors. It's a good story.
Abductions. Speaking of good stories,
there have been a lot of abductions. We have a few.
By the way, we're talking alien abductions, just to be clear. Okay.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There have been quite a few, and we have a number of stories on the site.
Cover-ups.
Well, Roswell is considered to be one of the biggest. Area 51 is always great interest. Apparently, there are 11 alien crash sites around the country, around the world, and it's always a source of great stories and government conspiracy, etc. So,
what is the go with this giant crater in Siberia? Dude, I saw a picture of that. That is ridiculous.
I know. I mean, nobody knows. And that's the thing that's amazing. So, it's kind of ominous. And, they haven't figured out what's going on yet. There are a lot of theories.
Okay, well, if that has not perked your interest, then you don't have a pulse. Folks, we're talking about outerplaces.com. Outerplaces.com, I would highly encourage you to spend some time there and have a bit of fun. Michael, I really appreciate your time. I'm a fan of this site. I'm a fan of you, and I look forward to seeing. I mean, by the way, just before we go, tell me about some of the numbers on this site.
In terms of...
visitors and that kind of stuff.
Well, here the other day, Drew, we posted a story about Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
We have press credentials, so we get to see all the new movies and all that stuff. The movie that just came out, I think, last weekend, The Theory of Everything. We posted on Reddit. It hit Reddit's front page. We had 5,000 queries a second coming into our servers. We had 300,000 or 400,000 people an hour. So. It's a real validation of the interest, the broad interest in this category. So I'm very happy about that.
Michael, could you, I don't know whether you realize this. I'm adopted, and I think my birth parents were aliens. Could you do a story on me? Could you cover me on your website, please, just so I can get a little more exposure? Thank you. Michael Donovan on the Drew Marshall Show. Thanks for your time, Michael. Great to chat with you.
Drew, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
Science history unraveling the mystery that all started with the Big Bang. Since the dawn of man is really not that long, as every galaxy was formed in less time than it takes to sing this song. A fraction of a second and the elements were made. The bipeds stood up straight, the dinosaurs all met their fate. They tried to leap, but they were late and they all died. They broke their asses off the oceans in Pangaea. See, you wouldn't want to be a set in motion by the same Big Bang.
It's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing? Except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith. To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.